Hello, happy Monday. Welcome to episode number 10 of Point and Line to Head, Elevating Hairdressing, the podcast all about art and design theory for hairdressers. I'm Cody. I'm a hairdresser in Washington, D.C. Thank you to everyone who's tuning in each week. Thank you for all your support. As I said last time, I have one more episode lined up, and then I'm going to take a break to regroup and figure out what's going to happen in future episodes. I would love to hear your feedback on the episode so far, and I'll be taking requests about things you want to hear in the next season. So, with that being said, we'll just dive right into this week. The last few of these episodes covered the sort of visual theory of arts in general, and this week we're focusing on something a little bit different. So the fabric, the hair, the most important part of this whole design conversation for hairdressers. And we'll start with a little bit of a quote that I had started the whole podcast with. So as I started this whole crazy thought process and this whole track of creating art and design theory for hairdressers, I started thinking about what hairdressing is, sort of at its core, broadly. And what I came up with after frantically brainstorming and scribbling things down and doodling and balling myself up into a corner and going, what am I doing? Basically, hairdressing is the art of applying artificial laws to a material that's subject to natural laws, where the material remains in governance of those natural laws upon completion of the work. So let's break that down in English for all of us. So applying artificial laws, that means cutting, coloring, all of the things we technically do to that fabric, to hair. Hair, being a natural material, is what we create with. So we're cutting and coloring and styling and lighting on fire and pinning and blow drying and all of these things. We're doing that to hair. So we're applying artificial laws to a material that's subject to natural laws, wherein the material remains in governance of those natural laws upon completion of the work. So hair will always act in the way it's going to act in, so to speak. So when we finish in the salon, and we've blow-dried, put everything into place, sprayed it 100 times with hairspray, if it's that client goes outside. If it's raining, that hair is going to want to revert to what it did before we blow-dried. If it's humid, same concept. Then there's things like gravity, things revolving around the actual shape of the head. There's sort of tendencies of that natural texture of however their hair behaves. So at the end of the day, all of our work is subject to the natural tendencies of the fabric we're working on. So applying artificial laws to a material subject to natural laws, where the material remains in governance of those natural laws on completion of the work. Hopefully that's making sense so far. So in this conversation today, we're talking about natural laws, sort of the natural tendencies of hair. The one overarching piece of this that we work with, painters use canvases, photographers have film, all of these various mediums of art have a medium. So we work on someone's hair, we work with someone's head and body shape and all of these things. So I like to refer to what we work on as the given shape. So as the client walks in the door, what do we have to work with? We have two main things. So we have the actual shape of their head, sort of the terrain, and then we have the fabric, the actual hair. And we'll spend this whole episode breaking those apart, really nitty-gritty. For me, all of the visual theory and all of that that we've covered so far is tremendously important in order to understand what we're doing and understand how to convey the concept that's in our head. But it has to translate, right? So we have to understand the fabric and materials that we work with. So let's talk about these, terrain and fabric. Terrain, the unique head shape of a client, right? So everyone's head is shaped differently. Some people have like alien-shaped heads. Some people have really square, flat heads. Some people have normal-shaped heads too. But so every unique head shape requires unique solutions. And in order to understand the shape of the head, we have to understand something called gravity that maybe we've heard of once or twice. And basically, if you imagine a droplet of water falling on the highest point on top of someone's head, what is that drop of water going to do? Well, if it's dropped perfectly on that highest point of the head, it won't do anything. It'll stay still. But if it's dropped a little bit in front of, a little bit behind, a little bit to the side, that droplet of water is going to take the fastest route to the ground because of gravity. And this is exactly how hair falls, exactly how hair lives on the head shape. So within gravity, the way we break that down and understand it technically as hairdressers, so we have reference points and we have compartments mapped out on the head. So reference points, number one most important for me is that highest point on top of someone's head. So we've all probably been in a cutting class where the educator balances a comb on top of the mannequin's head or the model's head. That's to illustrate that highest point on top of the head, the high point. What that means is that is the apex of the sort of roundness of the head. So just behind that, we have the crown, the natural growth. There's 150 names for it, cowlick, where all of the hair naturally grows from. And it dictates the whole growth pattern of all of the hair on someone's head. Then just beneath that, we have something called the occipital bone that I feel like all of us have, we've heard that before. That is where the skull meets the back of the neck. So it's where the head starts rounding into the back of the neck. Then on the sides of everyone's head, we have two more sort of highest points. So the apex of the roundness on each side of the head, located just about at the top of the ear. These three high points, the two on the side, the one on the top, tell us which hair lives at the front of the head, which hair lives at the back of the head. And then we have parietal ridge or the roundness. There's 100 names for it. But if you feel your head right now, sort of the top of your head, there's a distinct point where the top of the head starts rounding into sort of the sides. Now, that tells us where the hair on the top is, that hair above that roundness lives on top, hair beneath it lives on the sides. So, with all of those various points, we have a general idea of where the hair is going to live in the end. No matter how much spraying, cutting, and blow drying we do, that's where the hair naturally wants to fall. But to map that effect of gravity out further, using those reference points, there are 13 compartments on the head. Now, this is hard to explain without actually being in front of you with, like, visual representation, but I'm going to quickly explain this, and then I'll challenge you to maybe doodle this on your own or draw. I was told by a listener in Australia in one of my other episodes, the word doodle means something else to them. So map this out in whatever way you choose. But it's incredibly important to the technical side of what we do. And for me, this was a piece of information that changed my career and changed the way I worked. because suddenly my work was translating properly and I understood where hair lived and how I could cut it or color it properly so that my concept came to life. So there's 13 compartments total. We have three across the top of the head above that parietal ridge, above the roundness. At the very front, as the head or the scalp rounds into the forehead, we have a fringe compartment. Now, this is not triangular shaped, contrary to popular belief. It's actually crescent shaped. It's all of the hair that naturally falls into the face. And it's different on every single person. So there's no 1 inch from the hairline or formula that works for everybody's fringe. And I feel like we're trained in the fringe department to section a triangle, but there's no logical way of doing that on everyone. So there's this crescent-shaped area, and all of that hair falls into the face, whether we like it or not, no matter what we do. Behind that, between that area and the highest point on top of the head, we have a second compartment. That's the hair that lives on the top of the head, in the center, sort of the bulk of the hair on the top of the head. Behind that, from the highest point to the crown, we have the hair that lives in the back on the top of the head. Then below the parietal ridge, below the roundness, we have the flat area at the temples. Then behind that, we have a compartment on each side from that temple compartment to the high point on the sides of the head above the ear. Behind those, as the head rounds into the back, we have three compartments below the crown, one on each side and one at the center back. Then below the occipital bone, we have three more. They're all stacked on top of each other. These are six. 3 + 3 = 6. These are six at the back of the head. So three more below the occipital as the head rounds into the neck. Again, one on each side and one dead center. And if I did the math correctly, that should be 13. So we have three across the top, two on each side, and then six at the very back. Six, not nine. So that makes 13. Did have to pull my calculator out to make sure I did that all correctly. It's one of those things that's sort of second nature in person on someone's head. And then I start trying to explain it. It's like, oh, okay, so there's not nine, there's six. So what that does for us as hairdressers, understanding that, lets us understand where hair is going to live in our finished work. Then we talk about the fabric, so the actual hair that we are arranging as artists. Again, every single person has a unique texture, whether it's curly, wavy, straight, fried, broken off, crimped, whatever that unique texture is. So again, it will require unique solutions in creating our finished work. So we have to adjust our technique, adjust placement of things in order for that story to come through in the end. So we'll talk basic first. We have curly hair, we have smooth hair, we have wavy hair. Those are the main sort of categories. And then there's frizzy hair, there's all sorts of other things that come along with that. But just basic Sesame Street hairdressing here, curly, wavy, smooth. Each one of those tends to react differently when it's cut, when it's styled, when it's shaped in certain ways. Curly hair naturally wants to shrink and expand. Wavy hair wants to do the same thing, but in sort of a lower intensity, so to speak. So it shrinks up as it dries, but a lot less than curly hair does. And it wants to expand, but much less than curly hair does. Then we have smooth hair, which, again, will shrink up as it dries. It will expand if there's enough of it, but tends to just sort of sit. So beautiful hair to cut a perfect bob on, like we've done in several episodes now. Then we have sort of the amount of hair that plays into this as well. So we have dense versus sparse. Maybe not the best words to use with a client, but we have dense hair, really thick hair. We have sparse hair, 9 strands of hair on this person's head. Something that we have to deal with, whether we want to talk about it or not. We deal with really thick hair. We deal with really sort of sparse hair. So if we have really dense, smooth hair and we cut sort of a one length bob, everything's cut to one line, that hair is naturally going to expand out into this sort of mini triangular shape. But if we have curly hair and there's not a whole lot of it, it's going to expand, so it looks like there's more hair than possibly the client has, but it's going to expand a lot differently than if there was a ton of curly hair on that client's head. So these are all things that we have to keep in touch with as we're creating that plan, going back to that method. So figuring out how much space the work needs to take up, what is the outside of that space going to look like, and then how do I bring that to life? So as we're planning, we have to think about the head shape, we have to think about the fabric that we're working with. I'm not, again, I'm not going to give you a recipe. This is how you deal with someone who has a square-shaped head and curly hair. And this is because those are things that you discover in the way that you work personally as an artist. So yes, there's certain rules and certain sort of underlying behaviors of fabric and head shape, and we have to understand that. However, I can't give you a recipe because the way that I deal with those unique challenges on different head shapes and different fabrics is going to be different than the way you deal with them. Because I work in a certain way, I guarantee you work differently. So I'm not going to give you this is how I deal with this because I don't think that's relevant to the way that you work, probably. So in the end, we want to tell a story as artists, and we want that story to come through in the end. And I said before that when I travel and I talk to other hairdressers, the biggest frustration that we have is when our finished product that we have in our heads doesn't fully materialize in the end. And where that comes from is planning, understanding what we're trying to create, and understanding that there are natural laws and natural tendencies of this material we're working on. I'm going to finish up here with a final quote. This one is from Plato, of all people. And he said, "The beginning is the most important part of the work." So no matter if you're writing a symphony or taking a picture or cutting someone's hair, the planning and understanding of what you're creating is the most important thing you do as an artist. We're each capable of creating extraordinary things. Focus, discipline, and invention make us extraordinary hairdressers. And I'm sure you would agree, those are 3 things that we're all capable of. And it's just that simple to be the next Guy Tang, or the next Tim Hartley, or the next whoever your idol is. Focus, discipline, and invention. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you head over to the Point and Line to Head Facebook page to let me know what you thought about this episode, maybe what you want to hear in the future, and again, other education offerings. My whole schedule is up on the Point and Line to Head Facebook page and pointlinehair-education.com. If you're interested in learning more about all of this nerdy hairdresser art theory, I have a whole list of classes to sign up for. And for listening today through the end of the week, I'm offering 20% off all of my classes. There's no promo code, none of that. You know that it's happening because you've listened all the way through the end of this episode. So thank you for that. I want to give you 20% off to any of my classes in the future. And make sure you're subscribed. Keep an eye out on Mondays for new episodes. Next week, we're going to recap everything in these last 10 episodes, as well as I will have my time frame figured out for when season 2 is going to come out. So keep an ear out for all of that next week. Thank you again so much for listening. I'm Cody, and this was Point and Line to Head, Elevating Hairdressing.